Blog Talk Radio.
Give it up for Naughty by Nature!
Climb over the New England Patriots? And who's the surprise quarterback potentially in the upcoming NFL season? A bit of an off day in NBA free agency, but always things to talk about with that. The MLB All-Star break is just a week away. All that and more on Midnight Madness. And a happy Wednesday morning to all of you as we take you deep into the night. Here on Midnight Madness, I am John Santa. Lots to get to in the world of sports as Major League Baseball in full force. Races that are trying to intensify themselves. We'll get to that in a second. But first, we tip off the show, and we tip off with you, Corey Ponerello. Partner, take it away.
John, tonight we turn to the pitch, and I will be talking about the world's most beautiful game of soccer. When I say the word soccer or football, the average Joe connects the game with players of high class such as Cristiano Ronaldo or Lionel Messi. Yes, throughout Europe, South America, and parts of Africa, soccer is life to some. Yet, when we boggle the idea of the sport within the United States, many would shrug and immediately laugh. The United States women's national team has recently won a World Cup, and my hat's off to them. The chemistry between the ladies really made for an entertaining past couple of weeks, and have given this country some hope when it comes to cheering on the United States when it comes to, yes, I said it, soccer. Yes, the MLS can be dull at times, and not each roster has superstar talent throughout, like teams such as Barcelona, Real Madrid, Manchester United, and etc., but the United States men's national team is not something to be bummed about or even devastated by, but rather excited for. Friendly or not, the United States have defeated both the Netherlands, who was and were the number three team in the country going into that friendly, and Germany, who is the number one team in the world. The United States defeated both those teams. Like I said, friendly or not. And if you want to make the argument, oh, they didn't have this player, they didn't have that player in, still, sitting on the pine is high-class players from the country that produces the best soccer players in the world in Germany and in the Netherlands. So, much better talent than the United States has, in my opinion. This team is slowly coming together. And believe it or not, if you did not see so tonight, this team has a lot going for them. Hats off to Jurgen Klinsmann, a strategic quote, dots his I's, crosses his T's. Really, this team's been playing very, very, very well under his reign the past couple of years. Clint Dempsey is the captain of America for this USA squad, whose heart and soul propels this squad into playing very good team soccer. And tonight he had two beautiful header goals against Honduras in the Gold Cup. And after a shaky 2014 World Cup, Michael Bradley is beginning to understand the meaning of a box-to-box midfielder, both diving hard into tackles and setting up offense for opportunities such as, you know, long shots, 1-2 passes, and much more. Yedlin, Brooks, Chandler, Discrude, and company are all talented pieces that will bring joy and glory to the United States men's national team, and for years to come. They will continue to surprise many. John, USA Soccer may be on the rise.
Well, speaking of on the rise, 40-45 in last place, but not dead last place. You couldn't be dead in the AL East this season. But they were once 22-29. And a season after completely failing, a complete washout of a 2014, this franchise went ahead and did everything they could to try to get back on track with manager John Farrell this season. If you don't know who I'm talking about by now, well, and you haven't been following baseball this season, and you don't know who John Farrell really is, it is the Boston Red Sox. Yes, we're talking about the Red Sox. Yeah, that team that was 7 games under 500 through 2 months of the season, that team that had ownership, a general manager, all up in arms, all saying those expectations, well, they went after their team. And that roster has begun to, well, slightly get back on track. Now, the Boston Red Sox haven't been playing unbelievable baseball, but they have won 8 of 11. And, yeah, their pitching staff has a 4.48 ERA, which is 28th in Major League Baseball overall. But at the same time, this team is the same one that has star power. Clay Buchholz is 5-0 since the beginning of June. He has begun to turn it on. Now, the Red Sox are in a bit of a bind concerning his contract, but considering they've won 3 in a row, 8 of 11, and this was a team going in the season that was trying to really go all in with the talent that they have, you'd have to think they might keep Buchholz. In fact, I would say that they do. Wade Miley is starting to give quality pitching performances. They need Rick Porcello to start delivering. That's a huge key. But the Red Sox pitching staff as a whole, that's not at the forefront of why this franchise now has begun to win 8 of 11 and is trying to get on the winning track. The Boston Red Sox, look, they're 11th in Major League Baseball. They have 354 runs. They're batting .257. That's good for 10th. In a league that is really struggling to hit as a whole. .323 in on-base percentage, 8th in Major League Baseball, .400 in slugging percentage, and this is with David Ortiz struggling. But the Red Sox have a rising player in Mookie Betts. Dustin Pedroia is on the verge of coming off the DL, and he leads the team in batting average at .306, and we all know Dustin Pedroia in a Red Sox uniform, a healthy Pedroia whose hamstrings are good. Well, that's a pulverizing player. While the Red Sox are in last place, they're only 5 back. And a series this upcoming weekend with the New York Yankees could give them all the leverage and more to push forward in an AL East that, well, is beyond weak. The Yankees, Masahiro Tanaka, they can't rely on him. His health just isn't stable enough. CeCe Sabathia's gone down the toilet. The Baltimore Orioles are 43-41. The Toronto Blue Jays are 44-42 and have tons of offense, but just don't have the pitching. The Tampa Bay Rays have the pitching. They just don't have the offense. They don't have that star power. The Orioles are the stable team out of all those teams, the most stable. And with Buck Showalter leading the way, it tells me that Baltimore, well, is going to be contained. They've got good players. They've got J.J. Hardy and several others that have been able to deliver. But I look at this division as a whole, and the one with the most star power at the end of the day, it's the Boston Red Sox. You'd have to think that with that star power in a weak division, something's got to give. That the Boston Red Sox could be on the rise. In fact, I'm here to say it right now. This team will be contending in September. And while Big Poppy hasn't had the start of the season that we all thought he could have, we all know as the season goes on, Poppy just keeps on getting better. That tips off our show here on Midnight Madness. And we are going to talk a little college basketball. Now, an interesting story coming out of today, Corey Ponarello, and it's one that is making some national headlines. We have seen this happen in college basketball before. Frankly, the whole transfer regulations, well, I don't know what they are anymore because, folks, there are so many changes in college basketball. There are so many changes in this. Now graduate students are allowed to be eligible immediately, potentially, but there are so many transfers every offseason. We see it time and again. We see players who aren't happy with where they're at. We see all the mix-ups across the world of college basketball, all the relationships that just don't turn out well. I mean, there are hundreds of transfer situations every offseason. Sometimes in the middle of some season, we've seen that here in South Orange, New Jersey with Seton Hall. But Memphis junior forward Austin Nichols said that he intended to transfer on Tuesday afternoon. He said, quote, "It was in the best interest of my family and I to decide to transfer from the University of Memphis," end quote. He thanked everybody. Nichols, very quality player, suffered a season-ending ankle injury before that, 13.3 points, 6.1 rebounds per game, was expected to be a candidate for American Athletic Conference Player of the Year. The Tigers have underperformed. Head coach Josh Pastner, obviously not happy with all this. And now Memphis is at the forefront of all headlines because, well, they see that transfer application, but the Tigers are denying that transfer as of now. Now, this has happened before in college basketball. It happened on the women's side last year when Deja Simmons tried to transfer from Alabama to come to Seton Hall. And Alabama would not allow her to leave because, well, she tried to transfer what they said being too late in the process. The national media ripped Alabama, and weeks later, the Crimson Tide took a taste of their own medicine and ate everything up, and it ended up being that Deja Simmons could come to Seton Hall and be eligible immediately. It all has to do with timing here. Yeah, Austin Nichols is leaving late, and yeah, Memphis is going to not be able to really get a replacement for him, or at least one that's as good as him, an AAC Player of the Year. But I have a couple things out of this. Number one, Austin Nichols is your best player, Memphis, or one of your best players. You have to do everything you can to keep him around. I don't care what the situation is. You have to do everything you can. Memphis, you're an underperforming program right now. Simple as that. You're not at the level that you were at. You have to be better than this. Second off, now you're going to deny Austin Nichols' transfer. What good are you doing, Memphis? All that's going to happen is this kid's going to put on a pity party, okay, right or wrong. But he, you know what? He's making his decision. There are hundreds of transfers in college basketball. I know this is late in the process, but Memphis, by denying the transfer, what good is going to come out of it? You're going to try to make a point? No, because at the end of the day, just like all collegiate athletic directors say, and nobody's going to step off of this, we cater to one person, the college athlete. We cater to our athletes. Memphis, when you go ahead and make this type of a decision, you aren't catering to your athlete, Austin Nichols, who doesn't want to be an athlete in Memphis any longer, and you're going to go ahead and try to play this denial role. The national media is already ripping you, and it's only going to get worse as long as Austin Nichols goes ahead and continues on with the pity party that he's already having this evening. And I can't blame him. I can't blame him. But the Memphis Tigers, what good are you getting out of this situation? What good is it? There is no good. You can call the show 516-387-1570. It's 516-387-1570. The Memphis Tigers in a tough spot. You're not doing any good by denying a kid a transfer. And I get that it might not be right. I get that it's late in the process for Austin Nichols to just decide to be leaving. Fact of the matter is, you're only doing more harm to your program, which isn't exactly in a good boat itself. And now you're going to get ripped by the national media. It's just bound to happen. I watched it happen last year. Bound to happen. 516-387-1570. 516-387-1570. And Corey Ponarello. That's my rant for the night. I don't know what direction Memphis wants to go in. But we dedicate the rest of this show We turn to football now. Our Pigskin Preview Series is kicking off here. Corey, I see we do have some callers on hold, so we definitely want to get to them. But, my friend, the NFL, I'll tell you what, some intriguing headlines from this past weekend with Jason Pierre-Paul. That's a really intriguing situation. The NFC East and the AFC East, I think, are both the most fascinating, intriguing divisions in all of football, because I don't know what direction they're going to go in. I know we're going to talk a little bit of football with everybody, but your thoughts here on the National Football League.
John, I think it's going to be a very interesting year. And, you know, there's a lot of ups and downs with teams. You know, I'm, as a St. Louis Rams fan, you know, I've been always doing some research, wanting to hear some outside sources of how, you know, the NFC West is going to, you know, play out. You know, the Seattle Seahawks got one of the best offensive weapons in the NFL in Jimmy Graham. So are they still, you know, after losing a lot of their defensive talent, are they still going to be the same team? You know, as my St. Louis Rams, they got Nick Foles, they got rid of Bradford. Are they going to be the same team? But you have a lot of questions to be answered in the NFC West. Are the Cowboys going to, you know, be the same with Dez Bryant if he's not unhappy with the money situation? And do they have the running back? You know, the NFC North is always a battle with the Bears and the Packers, but the Bears are going to be a questionable team. So is it the Packers' year to run away with everything? John, I think we've got a lot to talk about, and who knows? I think maybe that some of our callers can help us out with that.
Well, let's go to the phone lines here. And we go to 256-417-7356. Hi, you're on Midnight Madness with us. Who's this?
Hey, this is Hugh from Cleveland, but most people call me Ryan.
All right, Ryan, what's going on tonight? What do you want to talk about?
All right, so I had a question about basketball lately, and I really got to give some congratulations to LeBron for winning. But I just kind of wanted to ask you, when do you think LeBron will I've heard a lot of people tracing LeBron back to Michael Jordan, right?
Yeah.
So, sorry. Do you think LeBron might follow in Michael Jordan's footsteps and start a shitty career in baseball?
Well, that was a nice phone call. Excellent job.
Well, I mean, to answer his question, LeBron James is one of the greatest athletes in the world. And, you know, people could say he could play football. Well, I think he can swing a bat better than Michael Jordan did, so.
He did a nice job. There was a nice use of language by him there.
Yeah,
he held together
but
for most of the way, and then just decided to go off a cliff. But I thank you so much, Ryan, for delivering the phone call, and get back to Xbox or whatever you were doing before then. 908-566-5117. Hi, who's this?
What's up, boys? It's Luke.
Hey, Luke. What's going on?
How we doing? How's summer going?
Excellent. Partner, where are you calling from?
Can't complain.
Good to hear. I'm calling from New Jersey.
Beautiful. What do you want to talk about?
I'm here to talk NFC North football. I think the Vikings are a team a lot of people are overlooking this year. First time in my life being a Viking fan that I can look at the quarterback position, and 3 years from now down the road, I could say, you know what, I hope this guy is still our starting quarterback.
Yes.
Whoa.
City's been
well,
starting
I agree
for good
with
quarterback
you.
Play. Absolutely. Besides our
Vikings
one.
Look like, Luke, yeah. I'm going to step in here. The Minnesota Vikings look like a playoff team to me. Because Teddy Bridgewater was that good. He got 6 wins. He led all rookies. Their defense, I like their secondary. I think it's certainly emerging. They bolstered that in the NFL draft. And then Adrian Peterson, he's going to only help Teddy Bridgewater. They did collect 7 wins this past season. And I don't think that was a fluke at all. I like the fight in them. I'm with you. And I think the NFC North, okay, Corey brought up the Packers and the Bears, but we can't forget here, the Lions went to the postseason last year. I don't like the Bears. I don't think they're a very good football team. They got rid of their head coach. It's a disaster. It's a disaster franchise right now. Don't like them. The Packers are still at the front, but the Vikings can be a wild card team. They really can be. Luke, Corey, care to disagree?
You know, I think it actually does come down to Adrian Peterson. And if you have a team that can run the ball efficiently, and I don't know how what Adrian Peterson is going to play. He's obviously one of the greatest backs, in my opinion, to even touch the pigskin and come out of the backfield. But, you know, with the whole abuse and this and that, you know, is he going to be able to play at that level he used to be, you know, play at? And even the Rams situation, I do compare it to the Rams where their game plan is run the football. And if you run the football, it will open up offensively for your wide receivers. I love Cordarrelle Patterson. He's very quick in yards after the catch kind of guy, but, you know, can he be more of, you know, a very good route runner instead of being that deep threat? Necessarily when it comes to receivers, I don't think they have the best core. But like I said, you know, a quarterback can make receivers good. And, you know, Teddy Bridgewater was questionable coming out of the draft. But I think he can lead this Vikings team. He can be the helm of this team.
Absolutely.
Anything else?
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys are forgetting, overlooking Mike Wallace, big free agent acquisition for the wide receiver position.
Ooh, I did forget. I did forget Mike Wallace.
Yeah, but it didn't work in Miami, Luke. It did not work out there. So he's got to be better. Mike Wallace has got to play better football.
I think some of that could be put on Ryan Tannehill, though, who's throughout his career struggled with the deep ball, and that's what Mike Wallace does really well. So I think Teddy could connect more with him than Tannehill did. And to touch on the point, Adrian Peterson, I saw him run for over 2,000 yards after not even a whole year removed from tearing every ligament in his knee. So I think with a year of fresh legs, I think he could be just as good again.
Luke, early Super Bowl prediction for you.
Now, of course, I like the Vikings, but I'm not that crazy about them. NFC,
okay.
I'm still looking Seahawks. They just acquired Jimmy Graham, as Corey said. Big offensive weapon. Finally, a guy they can really go to in the red zone. And I think the AFC is a pretty open picture now. Patriots, I don't know how much they did to improve, but, you know, Belichick and Brady are always going to be right there.
Well, Luke, I thank you very much for the call. Good to talk to you, partner, and call in again sometime. But a very good phone caller to be talking a little bit of Vikings with Luke from New Jersey. And we continue on with the phone calls now before we get back, and we're going to talk a little AFC East in a second. 440-759-2906. Let's keep it rolling here. Hi, you're on the air. What's going on?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
You're on the air. Who's this?
This is Craig from North
Carolina. I'm not even going to chance it. Excellent job by two of the three callers. And then Luke came in and just was the cherry on top. That was really a great – I got to tell you, folks, I know there are some of you who follow me on Twitter and you follow Corey as well, but I know 440 is a Cleveland area code from where I come from. Can you represent our city a little bit better than whoever just called in the show and decided to, you know, just put on their prank voice? That was well done, but I mean, for a really bad attempt, it was well done. Let's turn to the AFC East, though, while we've got a few more minutes left on the show, and we're going to go division by division as our Pigskin preview series continues, which are going to run on Tuesday night on the show. Corey, the Buffalo Bills, 54 sacks a year ago. That led the NFL. Rex Ryan adds a new culture to this organization. We know he knows one team in the division, the New York Jets. The New York Jets, though, have Todd Bowles on the sidelines. Well, Wilkerson is a big-time defensive lineman, 45 sacks a year ago. The Patriots are missing Tom Brady. The Patriots will miss him for four games as of now. They averaged 3.9 rushing yards per attempt last season. That's got to go up if they're going to do well in the first four games with Garoppolo at quarterback. They face the Steelers, and they're in Buffalo. They face the Jaguars, and they're in Dallas. Got to think that the Buffalo Bills can make an early season statement there in week two at Ralph Wilson Stadium. And then there's the Miami Dolphins, and the Dolphins got Ndamukong Suh, and they got Devontae Parker, Kenny Stills, Greg Jennings and Jordan Cameron, all for Ryan Tannehill. He's got the most pressure on him, I think, of any quarterback. The Bills have everybody but a quarterback. The Jets, who knows what's going to happen, the aftermath of Rex. Corey, will the Patriots fall in this division? I'm still not ready to say it, though, partner. I'm still not ready to say it. There's still too many question marks in this division. Tannehill is not a good enough quarterback yet. The Bills don't have a quarterback, and the Jets don't have a quarterback. You got to have a quarterback, even if it is for 12 games with Tom Brady.
And like you said, John, you have to. You have to have a quarterback. And if you put a solid quarterback in the mix for either the Bills or the Jets, and I want to credit Ryan Tannehill because I think he is a good quarterback. And what he did last year really showed me that he could start and play very good football. But look at the weapons the Jets have. You have Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker, very talented receivers. And they have Cromartie and Revis, who I think Revis, one of Sherman, there's a whole battle there for top cornerback in the NFL. And I think Cromartie, although he's at a little over the hill, but not 100% over the hill, can still play man-to-man coverage, will press you, get in your shoulder pads. They have a great defense. They got a great defensive line. So this whole quarterback issue, John, yes, is going to be the biggest question mark in the NFL. If the Bills can get rolling early, I think that they're going to be at top of this AFC East. Also,
they don't have a quarterback.
I don't know how many games Tom Brady will be suspended. If it's a thing, Goodell wants to, that's always another topic on for another show, but you know, the Patriots, they're just one of those teams where you look defensively and there's not a player that's a game changer for me defensively and offensively except for Tom Brady. If you really want to break it down, there's not Danny Amendola. Yeah, I liked him on the Rams, but he's not a playmaker. I really don't know how the Patriots do it. When I made predictions before coming on the show, I had them going 11-5. I don't because they're just one of those storied franchises. They're like the San Antonio Spurs, you just have to give them credit when it's due, John. I think the Bills will come out of the division because the Bills always play.
Wow,
the Patriots.
They don't have a quarterback. Ponce, they do not.
I think
have a
EJ Manuel can get it done.
What has he done to show that?
2 years ago, he played fantastic, and then he got the ankle injuries. Obviously, a problem, but
I don't know about fantastic. I mean,
average. He won games. He won games. He didn't win enough to get into the playoffs, but he won some.
The Buffalo Bills. I mean, EJ Manuel in his career, 16 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. I mean, I don't know. I just don't see it. He hasn't lived up to a first-round pick. He's got to improve. If the Bills have pieces around him, though, I'm just not ready to say that he's going to lead them to the playoffs. The Buffalo Bills are going to beat out the Patriots. At the end of the day, I just can't see it. And they do. You know what? That receiving core, as much as you, Corey, they've got Rob Gronkowski, man. I mean, he's as big of a difference maker as anybody around Tom Brady. You can't say they don't have difference makers. You can't say they don't have difference makers. I disagree with you on the Bills take. I do here because I think if there's a team, I think it's the Dolphins. And Ndamukong Suh, Cameron Wake, and then they re-bolster that wide receiver core, it should be much better. Tannehill is the guy that's more on the rise than Manuel. What separates? Is it that the Bills have better players than the Dolphins around their quarterback? What separates it for you? And then we got to wrap up the show.
For the Buffalo Bills, John, that defensive line, you want to play the name game with Sue and Wake, but Mario Williams is fantastic. Kyle Williams is fantastic. Marcel Darius is fantastic. Those are three.
Okay.
Gets to the quarterback. They eat the quarterback for breakfast. And then you have
right.
a secondary with Stephon Gilmore, who I think is a very underrated cornerback. And the key with cornerbacks nowadays is recovery speed and top speed. You have to be quick, and the Bills have a very fast secondary. They did lose Kiko Alonso, but LeSean McCoy can is a very big playmaker. Yes, you have to have a quarterback, but a quarterback can make, you know, simple, you know, out slants the McCoy out of the backfield. McCoy knows how to use his feet to get extra yardage. John, I would not be surprised if the Bills really shock some teams. This defense is not, it was one of the best in the NFL.
Okay, agreed. But I think then it shows all that much more. At some point, they had a lot of players do good things. But at the end of the day, you have to get quarterback play. Heck, the Cleveland Browns were 6-3. But they didn't get quarterback play after Brian Hoyer went down the tube and they decided to put in Johnny Manziel. Because when you don't get it, it just makes it all that much harder to win. It really does. Which is why I have the Minnesota Vikings as a team on the rise, because Teddy Bridgewater did get it done, and they've improved the talent around him, the biggest position being Adrian Peterson now returning. But in the AFC East, the Buffalo Bills quarterback situation could be the worst in the NFL, you could argue. It could be the worst in the National Football League. It's right up there. Because E.J. Manuel hasn't proved it to me yet, and there are people saying from Bills camp that the quarterback situation is really not good. Matt Castle is not a good piece for you. What's he going to do? He's a journeyman, okay? He's your number two, and he's going to be in a quarterback competition. The Bills don't have a starter right now, Corey. If they were that confident in E.J. Manuel, they would say he's the starter. Why would Matt Castle be competing with him? That's my thing. Miami needs to start to win. Ryan Tannehill gets the contract from them. That should be enough of that's a nice bolster of confidence. Now, Miami got with him early and negotiated that contract, but Tannehill's got to take the next steps. They've done everything they can. They got Jordan Cameron, a really good tight end. And then Kenny Stills, he's got a nice haircut. He's got a haircut that you want, my friend, but he also can catch the ball. That's why I like Miami. I really do. I really do think that they're the team, but you say Buffalo, and you know what? They've got a ton of good pieces. They led the league in sacks last year. So if they can get offensive production and consistency from the quarterback position, then yes, they're a playoff team. But until I see that, I'm not ready to say that they are. Corey says the Bills are the team on the rise. I like the Dolphins as a wild card team, but I don't see the New England Patriots, folks. The New England Patriots, you know they're not going to start 0-4. Bill Belichick will go ahead and draw up another scheme, a set of schemes, and that team will be fired up without Tom Brady if he even has to serve a 4-game suspension. It is amazing that I still say they're going to win that division. It's not the front runner in the AFC, though. The front runner comes from the AFC South, in my eyes. I know, Corey, we've talked about this, too, and we'll get to the AFC South next week as our Pigskin Preview Series continues here on Midnight Madness. We are back at midnight tomorrow night. We are talking a little golf. We'll be joined by Brendan Porath. He'll join us at 12:10, a golf columnist for SBNation.com. He's going to talk Tiger Woods. Well, pretty lopsided season. He's not had a good year. He did have a solid performance at Greenbrier, but it wasn't Tiger-like. We'll talk Rory McIlroy and his soccer injury. Corey, I know we talked about that last night. And then we will talk the Open Championship, which is next week. We'll turn things to golf a little bit. And then we will take a look at some of the things coming up this upcoming weekend. We'll make some predictions as Nostra Ponce and Nostra Fanta will come out and give you some of their takes, picks, and more, what they see in the future. And then it is Whatever Wednesday, and boy, do I have a story for you, my friend. Any last words here before we leave for a 23-and-a-half-hour break?
Well, John, I was outside. It was beautiful today, around 2 o'clock. Decided to venture into my backyard, and you were saying golf, and to transition, you know, 23 hours away from the next show, my short game could use a little work. The 9-iron, I was slicing it. And I said four a couple too many times as the neighbors were playing outside in that beautiful weather. Well, I'm getting there. We'll have to get out to a couple nine-hole courses later on in the summer. We have to maybe have a nice live show on the green, Midnight Madness edition. But the nine iron can use a little work. My short game could use a little work. But, John, we all know what happened in the Bridgewater Open last year.
Well, maybe that's a story to talk about in a future show, but it's not one that I prefer to talk about, as I had several holes in one, folks, but came up a little bit short. Thanks to the prank callers for joining us tonight. Luke calling in to talk Vikings and everything else. Clint Dempsey, a hero. Who else? Good week for U.S. soccer thus far. Great week for U.S. soccer. The Red Sox, are they rising? The AFC East, well, we had a hot debate about it. All that discussed. We'll be back at 12 o'clock to start off your Thursday morning and get your weekend started early. But for Corey Ponerello, I'm John Fanta. We'll talk to you in 23 and a half, folks. For now, sleep tight and turn on that AC. This has been Midnight Madness.